Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about preparing for old age. And I was telling you yesterday about how I am gradually working on photograph albums to leave for my grandchildren. I'm not planning to give them to them now unless they showed some special interest, but I assume that many years from now, after I'm long dead and in my grave, that they may be grateful for these photograph albums. And for some of you grandmothers who perhaps might even be on a limited budget and are thinking, what in the world can I give my grandchild? A photo album is priceless. It has no value that can be assigned to it monetarily. The Bible says that we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we're preparing for old age, we need to be clearing out and letting go and practicing surrender and concentrating on things that matter eternally, which every one of us of whatever age ought to be doing, of course, every day. What's worth living for? Is it worth dying for? Check your priorities. If we're going to lay up treasures in heaven, this also means a great relinquishing and letting go of things that we don't need anymore and somebody else would love to have. Are you a hoarder? Are you a pack rat? My friend Donna Otto, whose book I mentioned several months ago, she said, "I don't think anybody is really a pack rat." She said, "The people who call themselves pack rats are people who can't make decisions. They don't know how to clear out and let go and give up." It's not easy, is it, to clear out your childhood drawings and your old papers and your old letters? And as I've been pointing out, not everything should be thrown away. There are things which your grandchildren and perhaps your great-grandchildren would be very interested in. Save them. But if you save them, designate them for somebody. Make sure you label them. Make sure they know who this person is that wrote this letter. What do you want to leave your children? What sort of legacy? Well, the most important is the legacy of your love, your faithful example of a Christian man or woman's life. What sort of grandparents will they remember? Will they think of you as one who loved them, was kind and interested in them? Charles Gore wrote, "To lay up treasure in heaven is to do arts which promote or belong to the kingdom of God. And what our Lord assures us of is that any act of our hands, any thought of our heart, any word of our lips which promotes the divine kingdom by the ordering, whether of our own life or of the world outside, all such activity, though it may seem for the moment to be lost, is really stored up in the divine treasure house. And when the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, shall at last appear, that honest effort of ours, which seemed so ineffectual, shall be found to be a brick built into that eternal and celestial fabric." Have you thought of leaving your children a written testimony? Well, back when my mother was about 70, I begged her to write the story of her life for us children. And her first reaction was, "Oh, pooh," she said, "who would ever read that?" And I said, "We would, and our children would, and our grandchildren would." Well, her second objection was, "I'm not a writer, you're the writer. Why don't you write it?" And I said, "You don't have to be a writer, Mother. All you have to do is be a storyteller." And you can tell the story of your birth and your childhood and your growing up and your marriage and your having children. Just start doing it. So I suggested that she buy herself a loose leaf notebook and write on one side of the page anything at all that came to mind. And then, of course, if it's loose leaf, you can reshuffle the pages any way you want to. And if you think of things that you've left out that you want to stick in somewhere, then you've got the blank back half of the page to write those things on. Well, she finally began in 1971 at my request, and she entitles it on page one, "Upheld by His Righteous Omnipotent Hand," being the scattered reminiscences of the life of Catherine Gillingham Howard, 1899 to, and of course she left a blank for her death, but it happened to be in 1987. And I have this amazing document right in front of me as I'm making this broadcast. Here's how it begins. Dr. Thomas Carmichael, father of the now well-known Dr. Leonard Carmichael, who was president of the Smithsonian Institution, ushered me and my two brothers, Tom and Frank, into the world in the house my father and mother moved into right after they were married. Granny Marshall, the nurse, is one of the first people I remember. A few years after my birth, she broke her leg, which was from then on completely stiff, and when she would visit us, as she frequently did, it became my duty to help her put on her high black buttoned shoes and button them up with a button hook, a duty I never cared for. Sarah Ann Hackley is another one I early learned to love. She wore a black dress with a white apron and white collar and cuffs and a white cap. The world came to an end for a time the day she left me, when I was about six. I remember sitting at the top of the long, straight stairs and watching her go. I could not imagine life without her. Well, that's just part of the first page of Mother's book. There are so many fascinating pages I would love to read. She says on page 28, "You mentioned wanting to know something of menus. I have already told of my father's standard breakfast. Mine seemed to be cream of wheat, which I came to loathe. Often our Irish cooks would not be very careful in preparing it, and there would be lumps in it which gagged me. Sunday, we almost invariably had a big standing rib roast of beef, two or three ribs. I can hear Mother ordering it from the butcher. I loved the juice from that soaked up on a piece of bread which my father always gave me. Being so very thin, my mother tried to fatten me up. She had heard of a wonderful food from Serbia or some such place called Jolak. It was probably the forerunner of yogurt, only it was not nicely disguised with various fruit flavors. Over this I gagged." Well, that's page 28. I'm just trying to give you some ideas. You who might be willing to leave this kind of a legacy for your children. It really is a fascinating book. Then she tells about her summers in Monmouth, Maine. I think it was the second summer after my mother died that we went back to Monmouth for the summer. I was thrilled to get back. Every day, Helen and I would swim in the lake, rain or shine. In the afternoons, we loved to take one of the canoes and paddle across the lake where the shore was lined with trees. We would tie up to a tree, put pillows and seat backs in the bottom of the canoe, and each curl up with a good book and a bag of pretzels. Then we might pull the canoe up on the shore and walk back into the woods to a beautiful spring where the water was crystal clear and ice cold. Pretzels make one thirsty, you know. There was a sandy beach in a little cove nearby, and sometimes we would change into our bathing suits in the woods and have a swim there. Mother has succeeded in this book in just giving us a picture of her growing up years and of her marriage and of her motherhood. The more I study the book, the more it awes me to think of the responsibility that God has given to me because of my heritage. And this record of my heritage is of tremendous importance to me. The last page Mother wrote on May 12, 1980. "Years have passed since I last wrote, and I think that this will be the last installment of these memoirs. I think I have done what Betts asked me to do." And you can guess that my name, Elizabeth, she shortened to Bets. My father always called me Betsy. I shall not try to keep up with all the weddings and babies that have brought joy to our hearts, as you remember them probably better than I do. God's good hand on each one of my six dear children has brought into the family the dear husbands and wives of his choice, and for this I am truly thankful. The wonderful 16 grandchildren are a delight, and now we are making a list of the greats. At this date there are six, but doubtless there will be more as the years roll on. May each one give his or her heart to our loving Lord. This is my prayer for them all. And I end this account with thanksgiving to my Heavenly Father for all the way that he has led me. Signed, Catherine Gillingham Howard. What are you planning to leave to your children and your grandchildren?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.